Well, we're here anyway. Now, last night we spoke from the topic we wanted to get to was Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10, but actually we spoke on the pre-rapture conditions of the bride of Jesus Christ. And concerning those conditions of the bride, right before she takes a rapture, and we read from Brother Branham that she will be so Christ-like until she will do the works of Christ. And he said, and then she will take the rapture. Then we read several pages from Brother Vail's sermons on the adoption, which he quoted the very same thing that Brother Branham did. And he also quoted Dr. Hoyer, proving from the Bible that John 14:12 is the third pole. Now, I know a lot of people, they believe that there will be a third pole for the bride, but they don't believe in John 14:12. And yet you got a vindicated prophet who said, you know, as Brother Vail said, before 62 and 63, Brother Branham always talked in terms of the adoption, the manifestation of the sons of God, John 14:12. He said, but after 63, he began to term it toward the vision he had of the three poles. And so Brother Vail said, I believe that the manifestation of the sons of God, I believe that the adoption, I believe that is the third pole. So if we don't believe in the third pole, if we don't believe in John 14:12, then we don't believe in a third pole. And take it for what you will. Then in closing, we address the question, what will happen to those who sat under a vindicated prophet and an indicated teacher, and yet they still do not believe that John 14:12 is for all believers, and that it is the third pole, which Brother Branham spoke of when God, both God's vindicated prophet and his anointed teacher, straight out told us that it is. Well, we find our answer in Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10 this morning, so I'd like to read first from Brother Branham's sermon, Handwriting on the Wall. For Brother Branham said, then there's nothing left but judgment when mercy has been spurned. And here we are at the end of the road. The supernatural is being done. It's being laughed at and made fun of. And the last thing, God has come in his own power, in his own beloved son, to work through his church. And they say it's spiritualism or the devil. What else can be left but judgment? And here's a handwriting on the wall. But if that is... If that is that close, and any teacher knows that the church goes in the rapture before the tribulation sets in, so if that is so close, it could happen before morning, then what about the rapture? It's closer than that. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. The coming of the Lord is at hand. The writing is written, and it is written in the Bible, and we're living to see it. So when we, where are we at? When people turn down the very purpose and plan of God that he laid out before the foundations of the world for us to come to the adoption, for us to come to the manifestation of the sons of God, for us to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, these are promises for the bride for this hour. And yet the most religious people among us turning it down. And that brings us to our text this morning, and we'll read from Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6 tells us, therefore leaving... or having put away, I'm going to read it from the Weiss translation, which is one of Brother Vail's favorites. Therefore, having put away once and for all the beginning word of Messiah, in other words, Paul says in the King James Version, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. You're not leaving the doctrine of Christ. And the Weiss translation is very plain here. You're leaving the very rudimentary. Principles means like, you know, when you go primer school, principal, you know, first, second grade, that's your principal grades. And it's basically you're learning the ABCs, putting away the ABCs. Let's move on to algebra, is what Paul's saying. Therefore, having put away once and for all the beginning word of Messiah, let us be carried along to that which is complete, not laying down a foundation of repentance from dead works or faith toward God or of teaching of ablutions or of imposition of hands, it's laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do only if only God permits, for it is impossible in the case of those who have been once for all enlightened, and there is no denying that the scripture speaks of this very hour, where we have been once for all enlightened, God himself having come down with a shout, which is a message, and have both tasted of the heavenly gift and have become companions of the Holy Spirit. And I ask you this question, how can you become a companion of the Holy Spirit unless he is here? How can you walk in the light when the Bible says, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, how can you be walking in the light if he's not here? If you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. That's this hour. The entire New Testament speaks of this hour, Brother Branham said. That's what William Branham says, and have tasted the good word of God and also the powers, that's the miracles of the ages that is about to come. That's the millennium power. And these having fallen away, it is impossible for them to again to renew themselves unto repentance, crucifying to themselves the Son of God afresh and putting him to an open shame. Notice the key here is not crucifying the Word of God afresh. It's not crucifying it to me. It's not crucifying it to you. It's crucifying to themselves. And Brother Branham said that's crucifying the effects of the Word to themselves. You don't believe John 14:12? That's fine. I don't care what you believe. But you're crucifying the effect of that Word to yourself. It'll never happen for you. And you know what? Since that's the third pull, it'll never happen for you. And you know what? You're going to be left. Because Brother Branham, the conditions Brother Branham laid down last night, what we read, he said the bride must come to the image of Christ and then do the works of Christ and then the rapture. That's the order. I showed you 3 pages of Brother Vail's notes on that, where Brother Vail himself said the very same thing Brother Branham said. So if people don't want to believe it, that's their problem. I don't care. As for me and my house, we're moving on. We're following the Lord. You see? But notice, having fallen away, it is impossible for them to again to renew themselves unto repentance, crucifying to themselves the Son of God afresh and putting him to an open shame. For land which drinks in the rain that comes oft upon it and produces herbage suitable for those on whose account it is also tilled partakes of a blessing from God. But if it brings forth thorns and thistles, it is rejected and almost cursed, and its end is burning. Now notice, they do not crucify to you, they do not crucify to me, but they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, the Word of God afresh. Now how do they do it? By crucifying the effects of the Word upon themselves. That's what Brother Brown said, and I want to establish that thought tonight. Now, we could go into a lot of scripture on this, like Matthew 13. Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. Remember, he went forth sowing seeds, some fell on stony ground. What happened? Because it had no root, nothing happened. There's no effect. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell on along the wayside. But he says that seed which fell on good ground, prepared ground, it brought forth fruit. All the other did not bring forth fruit, right? So this is what it's all about. It's bringing forth fruit. It's bringing forth the image of the invisible one. And what is that image? It's not doing miracles. It's not jumping over buildings like a single bound like Superman. Jesus never did that stuff. It's simply being obedient to the Father, and whatever the Father would have you to do, you're willing to do. That's it. By crucifying the effects of the Word upon themselves, that's what Brother Branham said, and I want to establish that thought this morning. Now, if you do not crucify yourself, you will crucify the Word of God afresh to your own self by not allowing it to make the changes in you that the Word is supposed to do in this hour. And I'm going to read that again. If you're not willing to crucify yourself, then you will end up crucifying the Word afresh. Now, I believe that this is the hour that you will either crucify yourself afresh every day, or you will crucify to yourself the Son of God afresh, and you will put him to an open shame by shameful living. Shameful living. You do things that Christ would never do. Now, you might say, oh, I love the Lord too much. I would never crucify the Son of God afresh. I would never crucify the Word of God afresh. Well, Brother Branham said different. He said they crucified. You say, well, how did they crucify the Word? When Jesus said that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8, and they say, in such a way he is. In other words, try to use logic to do away with it. See, all right, if Jesus said his last commandment to the church, go ye into all the world, Mark 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, these signs shall follow them that believe, all the world to every creature, it ain't half reached yet, and there's millions die every year that don't ever even heard of the name of Jesus. So it's still the general order, it's still the commandment of God, all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. If they take up serpents or drink deadly things, it shall not harm them. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. And they say, that was for that generation. And they make the commandment of God of none effect to this. And they crucify the effect of the word to the people. Amen. So when you say John 14:12 is just for one man, you're crucifying the word of God afresh. That's simple. Very simple. We say, well, he is singular. Show me. Show me where it is. Well, we heard somebody say it is. Listen, a vindicated prophet said that's the body of Christ. A vindicated prophet said any man, every believer. He said, he that believeth on me, he, anybody. And you say, but that's one man. You have crucified to yourself the word of God afresh, and you put him to an open shame. Now, Brother Bram said, in Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He said, oh my, to change the man. Now, what can I explain away and say he's not the same when he is the same? If I do that, it shows to me, it's surely a man that would tell me that would show me that he don't have the revelation, the threefold revelation of God. See? Now, and howbeit in weakness among you that are perfect, yet we're not with wisdom of the world, but with the prince of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. See, the threefold mystery of God. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, he's reading scripture here, which none of the princes of this world knew, none of the priests, none of the rabbis, or anything knew anything about it. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Well, you say you're wrong about rabbis and preachers there. Well, who crucified him? Oh, and on and on and on we could go and read it, see? And to save time, because we got just not getting late yet, but we just got plenty here to say if the Lord will help us. Notice it was the preachers then that crucified the word, that made manifest the word, and then the people followed along with the preachers. Like the Bible says, like priests, like people. Because the Bible says, like priests, like people. The same thing today, and you will either crucify your own self or your own thoughts, or you will end up crucifying your own soul. You say, how can I crucify my soul? By crucifying the Word of God afresh, and in doing so, you will put God's Word, you'll put God's Word and thus God Himself to an open shame. Take your pick this morning, brothers. Sisters, either we accept the word of God as it was written and spoken by God's vindicated prophet, or turn it down and crucify the effects of the word to your own self. From all the days of our life, Brother Bram said, the Bible said he would do it, having a form of godliness. You know, the word godliness means godlikeness, having a form of godlikeness, but denying the power thereof. That's what they're doing when they turn down John 14:12, denying the power thereof. So you see, you're a slave one way or the other. But we who are bond slaves to Jesus Christ, we are slaves of joy. I'm so glad that I got shackles on me that shackles me away from the things of the world so that I could become a slave to Jesus Christ to serve him in love. And you, my brothers and sisters, who are like precious faith, who's been born of the Holy Spirit, that's had the blood of Jesus Christ to sanctify and cleanse you from all the filth of the world, that die daily to the flesh, crucify it, putting it away and becoming a slave to your own body to serve God, we look for a city to come. Blessed be the Lord. Either you crucify yourself, your thoughts, or you end up crucifying the effects of the word to yourself, not to me. I'm not going in based on your lack of faith. I'm going in based on my faith. You cannot crucify to me the Son of God afresh. You can crucify him to yourself. You're not going to crucify the effects of the word to me. You're not going to, look, no one can tell me John 14:12 is not real, because I've seen it in my own ministry. And I've seen it in the ministry of others. You understand? But they can crucify to themselves, and thus it no effects, period. They go on with just creeds and dogma. Theology, that's all they have. No Holy Ghost, just going to church, talking the word, but no effect, no life change, no supernatural presence of God in their midst, because they've crucified it to themselves. Not to me, not to this church, but to their churches. Now, I'm not up here to pick bones. I'm trying to get us ready, because Brother Bram said, here's the order. We come into the image of the firstborn son. we begin to do the same things he did, the same works he did, then we're ready for the rapture. He said it, I showed you last night up here on the board, then you're ready for the rapture. You know why? He said, because we're going out of this dimension. We're going to meet him in the air. How are you going to do it with theology? Come on. You can't even think about your thumbnail and or your fingernail and heal it. You're going to have to be so reflecting Christ that the very works of Christ are living in you. Then you'll be ready to go up to the sky. Up into that other dimension. From all the days of our life, Brother Ramsey, the Bible said he would do it, having the form of godliness and denying the power thereof. So you see it. You're a slave one way or the other, but we are bond slaves to Jesus Christ. We are slaves of joy. I think I read that one. From all the days of our life, again, paragraph 27, that was paragraph 30. Brother Ram said, the Holy Spirit, speaking in the scripture tonight, said that we might serve him all the days of our life in holiness before him. That's cleanliness and holiness. But today you can mention the word holy and people laugh at it. See how Satan's got it all wrapped up, but you are a slave. And if you are a Christian, you're a slave. You're a bond slave of the Lord Jesus. If there's two people of you, both spirit and body, and if you cater to the flesh, you're a slave of the devil, and you'll crucify the soul that's in you. That's how you do it. You crucify the soul that's in you. And if you cater, for the Bible said, the soul that sinneth, that soul shall die. And you have to crucify the flesh in order to be a bondslave in your flesh to be a servant of Jesus Christ. So, you're a slave any way you take it. And you can't get away from it. So you're a slave, you're marked, and the Bible said in the last days there would be two marks, and every person on the earth would have one or the other. You just can't get out of it. One's the mark of the beast, the other one is the seal of God, and the seal of God is the Holy Spirit. God's provided a way for his church. Ephesians 4:30 said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of your redemption. And to reject that Holy Spirit is to take on the mark of the beast. And that didn't have the, and all that didn't have the mark of the beast had the mark of the devil. Excuse me, all that didn't have the mark of God had the mark of the devil. He's quoting scripture there. So you're marked. You're either marked a bond slave in the love of God, or you're marked a slave to the things of the world of the devil. That's hard. But we are slaves and we want to serve him all the days of our life. A slave is a servant. In order to be a servant of Jesus Christ, you have to be a slave to yourself. To crucify yourself. Oh God, let that sink in. Crucify yourself and your flesh and your desires that God might take hold in your heart to move you and motivate you. That's the slave of Christ. The bond slave, Paul called it. He said he was a slave to the Lord Jesus, a bond slave in service for the Lord Jesus, going about daily, crucifying the flesh to be a slave for Jesus Christ, rejoicing because he was a slave. That's it. So you either learn to die to self and crucify your own flesh and the lust thereof, or you will crucify the word of God afresh and bring it to an open shame in your life. From the indictment, Brother Brown said, they call for a revival everywhere. How are you going to have a revival when the word itself can't work through the people? I'd like for somebody to ask me that for me. How can you do it when you deny the very revival itself? Well, did the prophet speak of them, forms of godliness, their own forms back there deny the word of life, their own forms today deny the things that can bring them revival. Their creeds and forms, yes, sir, they take the denomination and their creeds instead of the word, and that crucifies his word and makes his word of no effect to the people. How are they doing it? Creeds and dogmas. In other words, they're doctrinal, they're wrong doctrines. They're theology. They're crucifying the effect of the word because they say it can't be done, can't be done, can't be done. Only one man can do it. I'd like you to tell that to Brother Bosworth. Oh, well, he was ignorant, so God permitted it. Right. How about Martin and Columba? Raising the dead, changing nature, all those things. Well, you see, they weren't in the message, so they were still ignorant. But we're not ignorant. We know it all because, you know, we just know it all. That's right. We know it all. And we know that he is singular, and therefore, he being singular, it means only one person. Show me that. Get your grammatical dictionaries out and show me where he is singular. It speaks of only one person. And, in fact, tell that to 99% of the other languages in this world that don't use the word he. And the 8 other English translations that don't use the word he. They use the word whoever. And William Branham, who used the word whoever himself 440 times. And Lee Vail, who said it both ways. He said, it's for everybody, and then one place, just one place, he said he. Singular. I just wonder if God didn't allow that to happen to take off a whole bunch of people that didn't have the Holy Ghost. You say, oh, you're targeting people. Well, I'm targeting sin. Because if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're not going in a rapture, period.
Right.
How do you know you got the Holy Ghost? Well, because I believe the message. Oh, yeah, 2 million people believe the message. And they got all kinds of strange doctrines. How do you know your understanding is right? How do you know it? I feel it in my heart. Oh, yeah, we don't go by feelings, do we? How do you know, brother, sister, you're born again? How do you even know they've been baptized with the Holy Ghost? Well, I spoke in tongues. Oh, yeah, and commit adultery? I don't think a Holy Spirit puts his Holy Spirit into an unholy vessel. In fact, when God's word says no adulterer will make it to the kingdom of heaven, no fornicators, no adulterers, no liars, no thieves. A lot of whole unholy people think they got a Holy Spirit making the grace of God into a disgrace. That's right. Your life should tell you whether there's a holy being living in it or not. That's right. I'm preaching tough this morning because I'm trying to save some souls. Because the rapture will take place very soon. If the shout is already taking place, the voice is just around the corner, brother, sister. All the signs are in. All the signs are in. We are just waiting. He's waiting on us, actually. Their own forms back there deny the word of life. Their own forms today deny the thing that can bring them a revival. Their creeds and forms. Their creeds and their forms. Their creeds and their forms. What's a creed? It's a belief. Credo. Credo. Depending on if you're Italian or Spanish. Creed. Belief. Solo cred. Solo cred. Only believe. Only believe. It's a belief. Your beliefs and your forms today deny the thing that can bring them a revival. They take the denomination and they take their creeds, their beliefs, instead of the word, and that crucifies his word and makes his word of no effect to the people. Now, I'll just say this. For those people who think that I'm preaching false doctrine because I believe what the prophet said, that John 14:12 is for everybody, any man, everyone, whoever. I would rather take my chance and believe with a vindicated prophet than stand against a vindicated prophet and say, I think this guy was right. And yet that guy preached it 2 different ways. So which one are you going to believe? Vindicated prophets don't make mistakes, but teachers do. I can show you 6 quotes where Brother Vail says, I don't got it all right. He said, I could be mistaken, but Brother Branham wasn't. He said, I'm not fallible, but the Word of God's infallible. Oh, yeah, but you know what? We've got our creeds. We've got our beliefs. And you know what? We're really happy to believe what we got. And I'll tell you what, you're going to go to hell with it. You're going to go to hell. Unless you got the Holy Ghost. Do you got the Holy Ghost? Do you know you got the Holy Ghost? Brother Branham said, the Holy Ghost is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally vindicated in you. in you? Has God personally vindicated his presence in you? Well, he did it in a prophet. I'm talking about you, because the prophet said you. Has God personally vindicated his presence in you, his life in you, his actions in you, his talking in you, his works in you? They take the denomination and their creeds instead of the word, and that crucifies his word and makes his word of no effect to the people. When they see the word of God so vividly, it just plays itself that God made the promise he would do this, and here he is doing it, and they make fun of it and get away from it. It's blasphemy. And they try to crucify the word itself. Why do they crucify it? They can't crucify the word no more than they can crucify God. They could crucify the body that held God, the Son of God. They could crucify that, but they can't crucify God. He had to be that time on account of being the sacrifice to bring in many sons as predestined to eternal life. They had to do it then, but they can't do it now. They can't do it, for the word itself will live on. So what's he saying? They can crucify to themselves only. They crucify the effect of the word in their own life, and they continue to live in adultery. They continue to go out and drink alcohol. They continue to live in sin. They continue to steal from the employer. They continue to do all these things, and they say, well, you know what? If God can't forgive that sin, what can he forgive? Let me tell you something. We're talking about Hebrews 6 right now. We're talking about Hebrews 10. We're talking about him that is filthy will continue to be filthy still. You know why? Because he don't have the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because he rejected the word based on his theology, based on what somebody else says. Now listen, I don't give two bits what any fivefold minister says. I give two bits what a vindicated prophet says. That's right. I don't give two bits what I say or what Brother Vail says. If it's not according to what Brother Branham says, let every man's word be a lie and mine be true, saith the Lord. I love Brother Vail. I teach what he taught. But there's people who just are going in their own direction. And I'm sorry to say it, brother, sister, and I know I shouldn't be bringing it up to you because you could care less. But the fact is, I see it everywhere. It's not just with this circle of people. It's all the circles, all the camps have done the same thing. They have crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, the effects of the word, because their camp don't see it that way. You've got two souls, you've got seven thunders, you've got the pantyhose doctrine, you got all these crazy things. It's just religion. The Catholics come in, they do their genuflecting, their sign of the cross. That makes them holy, does it really? And the priest is off fornicating with little boys. But, you know, he knows how to do this. In nomine Patris et Filii Spiritus Sancto. Amen. Real religious. Feels good doing it. And it's totally out of the pit of hell. Totally. Out of the pits of hell. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. So where are you? Do you have religion this morning? Believe in a prophet? So do the Muslims. They'll die for their prophet, will you? Maybe you won't die for your prophet, maybe you'll die for your teacher. How about dying to yourself first? Die to yourself that God can take a hold of your body and change it to reflect the body, the very nature of his Son Jesus. From Hebrews 10:26, for if we go on sinning willfully, what's sin? It's unbelief. Disbelieving. If we go on disbelieving willfully after having received the full knowledge of the truth, no longer for sins does there remain any sacrifice, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which is about to be devouring the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside Moses' law, remember that's the first Exodus, without mercy upon evidence of two or three witnesses dies. Have you set aside the law of a vindicated prophet? the words of a vindicated prophet? By how much do you think shall he be thought worthy of sore punishment who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has considered the blood of the testament a common thing by which he was set apart for God and his service and has insulted the Spirit of grace? Well, if he can't forgive me for that, what can he forgive me for? He that continually, he that goes on sinning willfully. Well, Lord, I got this one little area in my life that just isn't right. I know it's not right, but I know you can forgive me for that. Can't, will he? If you know it's not right, will he? He says right here he won't. If we go on sinning willfully after having received a full knowledge of the truth, no longer for sins does there remain any sacrifice. You know why? Because you've taken the blood of Jesus Christ and you've made it a common thing. It's a dish rag. It's a footstool to you. Fools. Yeah. Fools will walk with hobnailed shoes where angels fear to trot. For we know the one who said to me, the meeting out of the full justice belongs, I will recompense, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And the sad thing is, the judge is here. The white wig. He's here, brother, sister. But we can pretend that, you know, we don't see him. Most of sin goes on, not in the daylight, it goes on in the dark. People come out after dark to do their sinning. They go into bar establishments where it's dark so everybody can't see who's there, making a fool of themselves, drinking up all the alcohol. The houses, the dens of ill repute, the prostitutes, all the red light. Well, you don't see red lights during the daytime. You know, the red light districts and all this stuff. It goes on at the nighttime. People think God can't see me. He can't. From questions and answers, Brother Bram said, Paul speaking with the inspiration of Christ in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have been made partakers, that's companions of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted of the power of the world to come, and if they shall fall away, it's impossible for them to renew themselves again unto repentance, seeing that they crucify to themselves the Son of God, and count the blood of the covenant wherewith they were sanctified an unholy thing and done despite to the works of grace. It is impossible for that person to ever come back. Don't think, brother, sister. I've seen too much with people say, well, we'll let the kids be kids, you know, and, you know, if they go off in the world, you know, they got to come the same way we came. They got to understand. They got to fall on their face before God. They got to realize that they were wrong. So they let the kids go out. They smoke pot. They drink. They do whatever they want to do. They fornicate. They get tattoos and everything else. And then they say, oh God, you know, I'm so sorry. And I'll come back to the fold. Will they really? I don't know how many people I've seen that people have let their kids go that direction. The kids come back and they got religion, but they don't have God. They got a little religion. And they still go home and watch their football games on Sunday afternoons. They still go out and do their worldly stuff. And they haven't crucified themselves. They haven't become Christ-like. They just got a little religion. From proving his word, he said, notice then, those who disbelieved after they got so close to the land that they disbelieved. Now, you that's taking notes, put that down, Hebrews 6 right there. Those which were once enlightened, as Brother Vail taught us, once for all enlightened, as the Weiss translation says, once for all enlightened, having made partakers of the Holy Ghost, seeing that they fall away, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance, seeing that they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and have put him to an open shame. It's impossible for those to be saved. Now, I'm talking to some of the young people in here. I want you all to look at me. You might want to do what you want to do, but you're going to answer to God. And if you know better, you're taking the lots and you're gambling out there, and you're saying, I'm trusting that God will have enough mercy for me that when I decide I'm old enough to start living right, that he'll take me back. Will he? You kids have been raised in this message. You know better. You know better. You think you can get away with anything when the God who created every flea knows every time it'll bat its wings, knows how many fleas it takes to make a pound of tallow, knows every thought you're thinking, and every thought you're thinking will be broadcast in heaven? And that's another thing for you people that like to talk about other people. Maybe not here, maybe on the internet, who knows. Everything you say is being recorded. It'll be broadcast one day to everybody. So the person that you're making fun of in private will be watching you on the great screen one day. And you know what? Not just they will be watching what you're saying, but everybody will see the hypocrite that you are. It's time we start being like Christ. Living like Christ. Talking like Christ. Breathing like Christ. You see, just as impossible for those to cross over in that promised land, people will come right up to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They'll come right up to the Word. They'll come right up through all denomination, all churches, all catechisms and everything. But when it comes to that Word, that crossing line, they say, oh, I don't know about that. My church doesn't teach it that way. I don't care what your church teaches. The Bible says it that way. Then you say, well, how do I know it's right? He confirms it. And he proves it. The Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you're a son of God. So unless he's, and Brother Brown said, how does God bear witness with it? By doing the things, the works of Christ in you. If you don't see the supernatural in your life, you don't see God. I'm sorry. You're not in his presence. I'm sorry. You're just a churchgoer, a message believer. Oh, yeah, they're believers because even Satan's a believer. The Bible says he's a believer. He believes and he trembles. Oh, yes, brother, sister. The preacher's hot today. No, the Word of God is hot. Hebrews 6, Hebrews 10. I'm concerned, very, very, very concerned for all of you, all of us, me, myself. For you young people, I'm very concerned that some of you are not going to make it. I just want to take you in. Go to our knees together. Pray through. Get alone with God until you're so positively sure that you're forgiven. And that he's come in to sanctify your life for you, to live it for you. Oh, yes. Be certain of God. From the indictment, Brother Brown said, as Peter said, your denominational fathers, Peter indicted you by, and he said, which the fathers hasn't done this, Stephen done the same thing, with wicked hands you've crucified the Prince of Life. Didn't Jesus say himself, which one of your fathers didn't put the prophets in the tomb, and you garnished them afterwards? So has it been to the righteous men down through the ages. So I indict this high-polished, church-going bunch of Christ-rejecting people of this day. You and with your forms of godliness, crucify my Christ a second time by telling the people that these words are for some other day and it isn't for this day. I indict you, you're guilty of the same crime that they was on the day of the crucifixion. Repent and turn to God or perish. Now, how many believe that was only for 1963? I mean, you know, hey, 1963, that's what, 51 years ago? No, it's for today. If that was God speaking through the lips of his vindicated prophet, and he is the I am, and he changes not, that word is as good today as it was then. And you say, well, that's good for 63, but it's not good for today. Then you have crucified to yourself the effects of the word of God. From the indictment, he said, notice this. They crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. What do they do? What? By having a taste and knowing that it is the truth and then turn around and denying it. What do they do? It's impossible. So that's what this nation has done. That's what this people has done. That's what these churches has done. And they've turned it down and they crucified the message. They crucified the truth to the people. How they do it? They put him to an open shame, stripped his clothes off of him, hung him up on the cross and nailed him up there. The Prince of Life, the same thing they've done today with their creeds. They've done the same thing. They stripped the thing. They stripped the goodness and the clothing of the gospel of trying to place it somewhere else and hung him on the cross. Oh my, why? I'm going to tell you something. God has done enough in this little ministry where people saw after praying that God changed the weather by 30 degrees just like that. They've seen the effects of John 14:12, and then they deny it and they walk out of church. What have they done? They're saying, oh no, it's not possible. It could only be back in the 50s and 60s with one man, William Branham. I'm going to tell you something. You have crucified to yourself the word of God afresh. Not to me, you haven't. I know what I saw. There's people in here that know what they saw. Time and time again, we've seen those things. Why? Because we believe them. If you're not looking for miracles, you won't see them. If you're not looking for God, you'll never see them. If you're not looking for the supernatural, you never see God. Because God is supernatural. They crucify to themselves, not to me, not to you. You were there, you saw what happened. Does that make something out of me? No, just a son. John 14:12-13. And the things that you ask in my name, I will do it. Do you really believe that he'll do it? How many people really go to prayer and really believe that God's going to answer the prayer? Or do you just kind of pray hoping so? If it be thy will, O God. You mean you don't know the will of God by now? If it be thy will. If it be thy will. I am the God that healeth all thy diseases. All thy diseases. If it be thy will, O Lord. Where does that come into the equation? James said, if you're a double-minded man, you'll be unstable in all that you do. How can a man expect to get anything from God if he's not sure of the promise that God made? You see, how are you going to be sure to get a body change? Well, you see, God will send a prophet. And he'll speak over me. And he has the power to do it, but I don't have the power myself. Well, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says the bride hath made herself ready. The bride hath made herself ready. Is that what the Bible says? The bride hath made herself ready? Huh? Are you bride? Are you making yourself ready? I can show you quotes where Brother Branham said, you know, the people need to be more disciplined. They need to be more disciplined to make themselves what God wants them to be. That's what he said. Well, how can I make myself anything? You can't, but God can through you. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who giveth me the victory. That's right. Even the good Baptists believe that. What about the people in this message? They put him to an open shame. They stripped off his clothes off him. They hung him on the cross. They nailed him up there. The Prince of Life, the same thing they've done today with their creeds, with their beliefs. They've done the same thing. They stripped the things. They stripped the goodness, the clothing of the gospel to try to place it somewhere else. And they hung him on the cross. Oh my. And why? From the indictment, Brother Branham says, see, Paul wants to know that these things here are absolutely essential. Baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection, second coming. All these things are eternal. They're absolutely the truth. Now notice, for it is impossible Now read it with me, just one verse. I want you to read it with me now, the fourth verse, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, is that my word or his? And I'm going to say the same thing. Are these my words, or are they the words of a vindicated prophet? If a man who comes to a knowledge, remember, they never got it. They were borderline believers. After we have received the knowledge of the Word of God, you get it from the knowledge, from reading it, seeing it, and then reject it. Then you, it's impossible for you to ever be saved. Did you read that now? See, have received a knowledge of the truth, just you understand it, but you never got it. How many people sat under a vindicated prophet and never got what he's talking about? How many people sat under an indicated teacher and have no clue what he talks about? They've got all kinds of weird ideas. Weird ideas. Like you got to listen to Brother Vail to make the rapture, when Brother Vail himself 36 times said, if you say that, you are a liar and you are going to hell. Oh, they won't tell you that quote. No. They won't tell you those things. Brother Vail never wanted people to follow him. He wanted you to follow Christ. Brother Branham himself said, I'm not infallible, but the Word of God is infallible. From the indictment. And the Holy Ghost today is not a third person. It's God himself manifested in human flesh by the body of Jesus Christ to sanctify a life that he might reflect himself through. And they crucify that same word made manifest. You understand, the crucifixion of Christ today is the people who will deny the vindicated and manifested Son of God among the people by his thing that he said he would take place in this day by his word. See, now, the same vindication would have to be the same if he's the same Son of God. Because he said in St. John 14 and 12, now that the works that I do shall ye do also. Hebrews 13 and 8, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you abide in me, John 15, if ye abide in me and my word abides in you, just ask what you will and it'll be given to you. Do you get answers to your prayers? I'm asking you. Are you getting answers to your prayers? You should get answers to all of them. Every single one of them. Maybe not the answer you want. But you should get a confirmation from God that he's heard you. And if you're not getting that confirmation, it's because you don't have peace with God. That's the scripture. Now from the indictment, he said Jesus Christ was the person, the man, God. Hallelujah. He was a manifestation of God. He was God in a body form to reflect the word of God for that age, to make that age see God's promise for that age. And the Holy Ghost is the same thing today. It's the Spirit of God upon the written word trying to find somebody to reflect itself to this age to prove that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. St. John 14, 12, the works that I do shall you do also. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, constantly trying to find its way to reflect itself, and they could not do it. The people thought so much of their denomination, of their little nests that they had and so forth, called their churches so they wouldn't listen to it. So do they do it today. Same thing, they crucifying afresh. Well, I'm sorry, brother, sister, but I read my Bible literally. You know, Brother Ram said the same thing. He said, I take everything in that Bible literally. He wasn't a spiritualist. If he said, he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's a promise of resurrection. I believe that he is for me. And what's the difference then? He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. You understand? What's the difference? He that believeth on me, He that believeth on me shall not be ashamed. He that believeth on me shall not be confounded. Huh? And then you say, well, we do make a distinction that he that believeth on me, the works that I do, that's not us. Well, it's not you, but it's me. I'm claiming it for myself. I hope you're claiming it for yourself. They can do whatever they want to do. I don't care. They can crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and they're doing it. Show me the supernatural presence of God in any of those churches that have turned down the Word of God. Now, I'm not talking about just the little circle that was around Brother Bell. I'm talking about the whole circle of this message. Where do you see the works of God? Where do you see the manifestation of the sons of God? Where do you see the spirit of adoption where they're crying, Abba, Father? A little here, a little there. That's all. Maybe a little church here, a little church there. That's it. No. They condemn the very thing that Christ said would take place. It just don't come according to their creed. And neither did Jesus come according to their understanding of him. He come in the way that God sent him, and he come exactly with the word. No wonder he says he's hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent and revealed to babes such as would learn. Do you understand? Oh, they have crucified the effects of the word. Can we all say that together? Let's read it together. They have crucified the effects of the word. You can't crucify the word. You can't crucify God. You can't crucify the Son of God. Again. But you can crucify the effects of the Son of God's life in you. From the indictment. What do? They took a Barabbas, a murderer, instead of the Son of God at the day of the first crucifixion. And today they're taking some man's word, which is a lie, and in the way of death, and refusing to take the way of life, God's word. I condemn this generation. I indict it in the word, in the word of the Lord, that they're wrong. They're guilty of the crucifixion, of trying to crucify the Spirit. And from questions and answers, would you please explain Hebrews 6 and 4 and 6, and also explain Hebrews 10, 26 to 39. Please explain whether this refers to the Holy Ghost people or the sanctified people. Please explain the difference. Well, let's see where the person is referring to. Hebrews 6 and 4. I love the Bible question. It pulls out something in you that you just get something that you wouldn't get otherwise, because you got what the other people's thinking, what's on their heart, and you know what they're doing. Now, there's Hebrews 10 and here's Hebrews 6 and 4. All right. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the word of God and the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, that's one. Now, Hebrews 10:26. All right, Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for judgment, the fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. He that despiseth Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much more sore punishment shall he be worthy, who have trod underfoot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and done despite to the works of grace. Now, all right, that was paragraph 28. In the same question and answer, I guess it's the same. Let's see, 10:12. Okay. For instance, like this, it's the same thing in Hebrews 6. See, most people misinterpret that scripture so much. They think it's impossible. He said, it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have been made partakers of the Holy Ghost if they shall fall away. See, they just don't get it. He says, it's impossible for those which were once enlightened and partakers of the Holy Ghost, seeing that they should fall away, to renew themselves again to repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame, counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was crucified with an unholy thing, done despite to the works of grace. Well, to me, it's a revelation. Sure it is. It's just like Acts 2:38 and Matthew 28:19. You just have to catch it, see? You see? Now look, here it is, the same thing. Well, now, he's speaking to Hebrews, see? Now, read on down through the chapter, far as them goes ahead and say, for it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, here's a man, just like a borderline believer, here. He's here, the same thing was here. Perfect example, I see in my mind. So as we read in the other quotes, Brother Brown said, see, they come up to the borderline, they come up to the knowledge of the truth. They're witnesses of the knowledge of the truth, but then they turn away from it. Why? Because of their creeds. Because of their dogmas. He said, it's impossible for them to ever be saved. Ever be saved. I'm not the judge to tell who's going to be saved, who's not. But I tell you what, the word of God is a judge. Jesus said, my word shall judge in the last days. Jehovah Jireh 2. And then Abraham, we found out, didn't obey God just right. Now, he made ready and had faith in the impossible, but see, we can still have faith in the promise and then now obey. Still, it'll hinder us. Now, you can say, well, I'm a believer in the Holy Spirit. I believe that I should be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, no matter how much you believe, you've got to obey that commission. You see, just faith alone won't work, because faith without works is dead. That's right. Just like the borderline believers. God, people today, you'll find in the Bible, it said, for it is impossible for those which were once enlightened, may partake of the Holy Ghost and fall away, to renew themselves again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and count the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and done, despite to the works of grace. Now in Hebrews 10, it also says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You know, people want the grace of God, but they don't want the wrath of God. Let me tell you something. You turn down the grace and there's nothing but wrath. Questions and answers. Explain Hebrews 4 and 6 right quick. Now, let's get to it real quick and compare it with Hebrews 10, 26. Hebrews 6 and 4 and 10, 26. See, let's, Hebrews 10, 26. All right, I got it right there. See, for it is impossible for those that were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God, the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. That goes right ahead and tells what it is. Now look, I had that the other night. How many was here when I explained that, all right? You know what it is, okay? That those are borderline believers. Question and answer on the Holy Ghost. Now, what's a borderline believer? In other words, you've been in the message all this time and you come up to the border of getting ready to go home, and when the prophet said there's a requirement, you got to be so much like him that you actually do the works of him if you're going to make the rapture. That's the three things. You got to be so much like him, you got to be conformed to his image so much that you actually do the works that he did. Then you'll be ready for the rapture. And they come up to that and they turn away. They turn away. It's a borderline believer. The borderline believer is not the guy that departed after they left Egypt. He never made it to the borderline. The borderline is when you come up to the time of the resurrection, and then something stops you in your progress. My challenge to you is you believe every word of God. And you believe every word of God is for you. Absolutely. You say, well, what about Malachi 4? Aren't you in there? There's two parts of Malachi 4. There's the prophet, the spirit of Elijah, that's the presence of God, which restores the hearts of the children. That's you. You're in Malachi 4. Every single one of those scriptures. Now, let's go ahead and read. All right. Perfecting, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead work and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we do, if God permits. Now, here's where they wanted to start from the fourth verse. For it is impossible for those that were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open chain. Now look. Now that looks like, from the way that you're reading it there, that a man could receive the Holy Ghost and then backslide and be lost. But it's impossible for him to do it. See, he can't do it. If he did, Christ lied. See, it's impossible for those that were once enlightened. Now watch here. What's he speaking? He's speaking to those borderline Jews. He never said a man being filled with the Holy Ghost. He said if he has tasted the Word of God. So my question to you is, do you know you got the Holy Ghost? And I say to you, what's your evidence? You say, oh, I believe the Word for the day in which we live. Okay, what is the Word? Come on. I have people saying that I'm off the word. I say, show me the Bible. They say, I can't do it. You know the Bible better than I do. Then how do you know that you got the word for the hour? How do you know that you know the word for the hour? If you can't show where I'm wrong or where I'm right. You can't do it. But you can say what other people are saying. Other people are saying Brian's wrong. Good for them. Good for them. But they can't show me where I'm wrong. I challenge any one of those preachers to come here with their Bible open, Show me from the scripture and from the prophet's message, not from Brother Vail. Brother Vail's not vindicated. But bring Brother Vail's quotes, and I'll bring Brother Vail's quote, because I can show you where Brother Vail preached two ways. John 14:12 is everybody, and John 14:12 is he that believeth. And I asked the question, what happened, Brother Vail? And he said, Brian, I don't know John. He's very sheepish. Brian, I just don't know John. I didn't study it. And yet people are hanging their eternal destination on something he said he did not study. It's on tape. He said, I never studied it. But I can see where a 5-pound pail being the church and a 10-pound pail being the prophet is still, they're both greater than the 1-pound pail that Jesus had. He was admitting that the greater works were even in the church. And they say, well, Brian forced him to say that. Huh? I don't believe you could force Brother Vail to say anything. You believe that, Don? Anybody knows Brother Vail, you don't force him to say anything. But I said, Brother Vail, they're saying it. He said, well, don't listen to him. I said, but Brother Vail, they're saying what you said. He said, well, I don't know John. I never studied it. Thank you, Brother Vail, for being honest. I just wish the others would be honest. Because they're hanging their eternal destination on a lie. On a lie. When Brother Vail was reading Brother Branham, and Brother Branham, he was reading, he said, now Brother Branham is going to explain John 14:12 to us. And then he reads, and Brother Branham says, Brother Branham reads John 14:12, and he says, see, that's the body, see. And Brother Vail says, that ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says he. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Brother Vail made a mistake there. Because you don't correct a vindicated prophet. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you think you are. I don't care if you are Billy Paul, son of a prophet. You don't correct a vindicated prophet. When a vindicated prophet said, he, anybody, everybody, whoever. And I can show you hundreds of quotes where he said it that way. He said it's the church. He said the church has got to be in that condition before she takes the rapture. And I can show you where Brother Vail taught it that way himself. So what happened? I don't know. Did God allow him to misspeak in order to take off a whole bunch of people who thought they had it and they didn't have it? Because that's what Brother Vail told me. He said they think they got it, but they don't got it. You think I spent all those years talking the word with him, questioning when there was doubt, questioning when there was confusion as to what he was saying or how he was saying it, to make sure that I was understanding where he was coming from? And then I don't know? No, I'm going to tell you something. I didn't spend all those years to one day say, well, I don't believe Brother Vail. Look, I believe that was God's servant. But I do believe that he said it two different ways, and I can show you more quotes, three quotes, in fact, where he taught it exactly like Brother Branham. In fact, sermons, entire sermons, where he taught it that way. And then I can show you one quote where he said he. And in that quote, he was contradicting a vindicated prophet. He said, that ain't what the Bible says. Things are very sarcastic. Now, let me tell you something. He was just talking about these people that would not receive a man when he comes with, thus saith the Lord. No matter what he says, they won't receive him. And then he quotes Brother Branham. He says, well, that ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says he. He was being very sarcastic. Now, let me ask you something. When I say something sarcastically, you don't take me for face value. You take me for the opposite. You understand? Do you understand? Sarcasm means just the opposite. But if you're only reading Brother Vail sermons and not listening to him because you don't understand the language, how are you going to know he's being sarcastic? And you're placing your eternal destination on somebody's misunderstanding. I'm going to tell you something. You go to hell. You will go to hell. Do you? You will be lost. You will leave aside the effects of the word. You'll still have your religion, but you'll go to hell doing it. Now, are we willing to die to self crucify self, or are we willing to stand with the Word of God and to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son? I know my words are very strong this morning, brother, sister, but it's not me. I believe it's the Holy Ghost. With all that's in me, we are getting ready. We've already had two blood moons. We're going to enter in a few months to full eclipse and two more blood moons, and it's over. Those blood moons are signs in the heaven. Jesus spoke they would come. The book of Genesis said God hung the sun and the moon as signs and for seasons. I believe we are at the season of the rapture, of the resurrection. It is at hand. It is getting ready. In the next few months, if we're not prepared, if we are not righteous, we will... Listen, if you're not righteous, you won't be righteous still. Because you're filthy, and you'll be filthy still. Make sure that everything you do is under the blood of Jesus Christ. And the best you can is to be as Christ-like as you know how to be. And don't say, well, that's works. Listen, Brother Branham said, I read you the quote last night, where Brother Branham said, he said, I even asked him, he said, I've reconsecrated my life. I've reconsecrated my life. And I even asked him for a double portion of what he's already given me. Are you willing to ask for a double portion? Or how about a single portion? Are you willing to reconsecrate your life to Jesus Christ? From this day forward, everything I'm putting under the blood, I'm going to live the best that I know how, like Jesus Christ. As I mentioned last night, I was talking to Brother Collins. Said a man came, called him, went over to him, said, Brother Collins, I got to talk to you. And Brother Collins said, I want my wife to go to church with me. He said, well, that's a nice thought. He said, but Brother Collins, he said, my wife wouldn't do it, so I beat her. And now she's going to divorce me. Brother Collins said, well, I'd divorce you too if I was her. He said, well, really? He said, yes. No man should ever treat his wife that way. He said, well, how do I do it then? Brother Collins said, just be so much like Jesus Christ, she wants what you've got. He said, 2 weeks later, she came to church and was baptized. Try living like Jesus Christ instead of yourself. You say, well, that's works. No, it's not. He which began the good work in you shall complete it. Just let go and let God. Get out of the way and let him have his way. That's all. I'm crying out in desperation right now to save some souls. I'm crying out in desperation because I see an imminent coming of the Lord Jesus. I see an imminent resurrection period coming up very quickly. And when it begins, you won't be there if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. You'll not be there. I'm sorry. You will not be there. Only those filled with the Holy Ghost are going in a rapture. Do you know that you're filled with the Holy Ghost? If you don't, or if you'd like to consecrate your life, reconsecrate to Jesus Christ. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we humbly and reverently ask you, O God, I want to reconsecrate my life, O God. To live, die, sink, or swim, this is it. To love you with all that lays within me and to love your children. So much so that if I got to holler and scream to get them from crossing the road and the dangers of those cars out there, I'd do it. So much so that if I see them, O God, wandering off after isms and after false teachers and false prophets and false evangelists and people that aren't even believing this message, then I'll cry, O God, until there's no voice left in me. Help me, Father, with myself, my family, and the little handful of children, your children, that you've given me to shepherd over. May I stand there as David did when that bear came, grab him by the beard and slay him. When that lion come, grab him by the mane and cut his throat. Help me, O God, to stand fearless before thee and before your people. To stand fearless before Satan and his ilk. For I ask it humbly, O God. And help me to die to Brian Kozorek. and help me to live by the power of the resurrection of your Son in this body of flesh. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's sing that song in closing. I know whom I have, believe it. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.